Praise God. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, if you didn't already know, and Professor Greg Stevens. And a professor starts off with profession. Mm-hmm. And it looks as though professional. He is, and has the credentials to prove it, he is a professor, a professional in the Hebrew language, and has studied both Paleon and the Hebrew that we have now. So,
Biblical Hebrew.
Biblical Hebrew, yeah, that's the way you say it. Hallelujah.
You know, there's something else to that. People ask me about being a professor, Brother Copeland. But there's another thing that I hold higher than any man's learning. You called me one day and said, I'm teaching the KCBC class, and I want you to be right there on the front row. And I came and went. And then you called me up there and laid hands on me and prophesied mm-hmm. that professorship. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is as great as anything that I ever studied, is to have the prophet anoint you mm-hmm. with that. And so I don't take that little title, professor,
praise God,
lightly. So.
No, it's not. It's, and I talked to Dean Irby about it. And then you went ahead then with the studies and the certificate that qualifies you for it.
Yeah.
And so any Bible college needs that, particularly based in the faith of God. So now let's go back over here. Mark chapter 5. And they went, let's pick it up. Well, where were we yesterday?
He came running now, to Jesus.
Charles Rogers, in fact, at the time of this broadcast, just a few days ago, I did his home going. And so he invited me to come preach for him and sing. Oh, not preach for him, but sing and do full song, because he's doing the preaching. And he was on the ordaining council that I went, and he's one of them that laid hands on me and ordained me into the ministry with World Ministry Fellowship. And so he said, come on, go with me. So a woman that was in that service said, Brother Rogers, I don't know whether my mother is saved or not. And would you come and pray for her? And they were just standing up here. I was standing here. And they were just standing there. I'm at the foot of the bed. Her head's down there. And they're discussing these things up there. And that woman said, Sick, my sin! Man, I ran out the door. I was shaking all over. I said, that little bitty woman ran me out of the room. Well, I'll tell you, praise God, Father, I'll never be another and run me out of the room. In the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, then this was another situation altogether. I was invited to lay hands on a man that had gangrene. I mean, just really bad. All of the shutters were shut because he couldn't stand daylight. And I really didn't know anything about him. I was just invited to go with him, and I went. And so his foot was right there, and I just touched it. I was, no, you don't. Get out of there in the name of Jesus. That one growled at me. And, I might as well finish this, because it's important what we're going to see right here. And because he came and worshiped him. I was in Jamaica. And the pastor said, Brother Copeland, before we go to the meeting, we stop by and pray for someone. I said, sure. I said, what's the matter? He said, she mad. Huh? Crazy. I said, okay, it's up in the mountains. And no electricity there. Just candlelight and things. And we were headed through there, and I thought, boy, there's a lot of people there that look like they qualify. They look like a Halloween spookiness thing, you know. All the way in the back. This young woman on an old bed ticking mattress on springs like this. And she had a little stick with a bandana, and everything she had was in there. Now, the man that was with me on that trip was the only time that he had gone with me, his former Marine. And he was standing there with me. And I was standing here looking at her. I was standing up. She squatted down on that. So with her squatted down, she's about eye level to me. And she said, "You must be Brother Wimmer." Well, that was an old radio preacher. Mm-hmm. I was the only one in there old enough to know who Brother Weber was. "You must be one of Roberts." Earl said, "No, ma'am, I'm not." "I know who you are, and you're afraid of anything that isn't flesh and blood." And I said, "Look at me, baby. Look at me. Devil, I fear no man nor beast in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I order you by the power of the blood and his name, you come out of her now." I said, "Look at me, baby. Look at me. And I saw her eyes clear up. I said, "Sweetheart, Jesus told me to tell you that he loves you." And she just went like that. Well, I didn't have time to stay. So then I inquired of the pastor. I said, "You know?" "Oh, yeah." He said, "She was in my church." And he said, "There were some Moravians came by, gave an invitation, and she fell in love with Jesus." And he said, "Then the church that she was going in, she's a beauty operator. She bought some new clothes and had her hair trimmed up and everything. And they stopped her at the door and said, 'What is that on your fingernails? And you have cut your hair. Jesus doesn't love any woman that cuts her hair.'" I didn't know that.
Traditions of men.
But I found out later. It turned out very well.
Yeah, praise God.
And then on that same trip, and I'm here teaching this same thing, and the Lord instructed me. He said, "I want you to go to Jamaica." And he said, "I want you to go up into the mountains and teach faith." Hmm. So I went up there, and Deacon Lewis came by. Deacon Lewis had dressed well, and I said, "Deacon," he said, "I quit my job and came up here." I said, "Why'd you do that?" He said, "Well," he said, "we've been praying and fasting a day a week if somebody would come up here and teach us faith." He said, "Nobody ever comes here and teaches the word of faith." Well, then I found out why I was there. Mm-hmm. So, and we were up there in the mountains. And we were in this valley here where the church was, and there was a mountain on this side, a mountain on this side. And I heard this scream, "My baby's dead, my baby's dead, my baby's dead." Well, I had seen her. I thought she's probably about 12, 13 years old. And so I turned around to the deacon and grabbed his flashlight. I put my foot on that first step, and the next step was on top of those stairs. I have no recollection in my mind. I took one step here and one step there. And I would say there was at least 15 or 20 steps between here and there. I mean, I was standing right there. And she'd been up there studying, and her dad went up there, and she was just laying here like this, and he picked her up like this and turned around there to me, and he said, my baby's dead. Well, I felt her hands. She was cold. And I said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, walk. In the name of Jesus, walk. I said, in the name of Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve, walk. And I hit her in the stomach. She said, Papa. She was 18 years old. She went back to Kingston, got her teaching certificate.
Praise God.
Amen.
That's good.
So I thought we'd go back and we'd have a great revival. No, they said, I said, most of us are afraid of her. What? Oh, yeah. She's some kind of haint. That's the tradition of those hill people.
Yeah.
So she just had to go on to teach school and finish. So now, let's go back to this, because all of this will come into play here. Did you start to say something?
No, sir. The disciples were afraid of Jesus, just like they were afraid of that miracle.
And
the people will be afraid when this man is delivered.
Yes. Now, so I can come here. When he saw Jesus before, he ran and worshipped him with a loud. With a loud voice and said, what did I do with you, Jesus, you son of the most high God? I adjure you by God, torment me not. Jesus said, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them out of the country. Now, you have to understand, here, everybody there heard that voice. It's coming out of the man's mouth. But you come on up. He besought him with much that he would not send them out of the country. My name is Legion. Now there were nigh in the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, now they didn't hear this, Jesus heard this. Send us into the swine. Now, why do they do that? Any spirit, evil spirit, Holy Spirit, all spirit beings need a physical body of some sort to be manifest.
That's correct.
And those demons, they couldn't do anything. Just put us in those hogs or something. They're in a dry place seeking rest and find none. That's what Jesus said. Well, then the hog ran off into the Galilee. And now they're roaming around out there again. And forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place in the sea, and there were about 2,000. And they were choked, or they drowned in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And when they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, had the legion sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, they were afraid. Well, where did they get the clothes? That's not hard to figure out. He had a tunic that was seamless. He said, you're working for me. So he supplied clothing for all of them. They were well clothed. So obviously, he said, Judas, we are going to go across this Galilee. There's a man over there. And he's devil possessed. And as you know, I have come to destroy the works of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So go to our clothiers and buy some suits. Nice. As you, when you get there, you're going to find out he's a cutter. And he's going to be skin and bones and nasty looking. So I want to take some clothes over there because I'm calling him to preach. So obviously they did. And he told him, he said, now just get ready. Just don't say anything. So this whole scenario, this probably took a whole lot longer than what it took us time to read it. Because there's no telling what he's doing. He just probably throwing fits. But he dressed him, sent him home, looking good. And he preached throughout the Decapolis.
And those are 10 cities.
Yeah.
That were largely Greek,
yeah.
But it's when those cities then begin to believe in Jesus. Well, I'm wondering, how did they begin to believe in Jesus? This guy went.
And the next time you see him, they want to get him out of there, get Jesus out of there, because those hogs were food for the Roman army.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's what scared them. They said, get out of here. So he left. But the next time you see it, there is a crowd. Mm-hmm. And it's the preacher, it's Brother Legion, and probably Sister Legion was there. And anyway.
My favorite part of this is they get back in the boat, they head back across to Capernaum. When they arrive, this is when the woman who had the issue of blood touches him.
Yes.
But they're going to Jairus' daughter.
Yeah.
And this all goes back to chapter 4. See, they all connect.
Yes,
he's talked about here, 9 times about hearing things. Well, the first thing they heard was the devil's voice after the storm. But now they're going to hear something else. And while he yet spake, this is Mark 5, verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain that said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as Jesus had heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid.
Yes.
Only believe. And this is why we've got to watch what we hear.
That's right.
And that's what all of chapter 4 leading up to this demon-possessed guy and the healing of these two women was all about hearing.
Sometimes when I have a difficult time going to sleep right away, so I just get in that boat with them. I'm just part of it there. And, oh, no. Is that Jay Arizona? Do you suppose little Elizabeth has died? Oh, my. Oh, yes. She's at the point of death. What is this? We're going with him, but what's holding us up here? This woman with the issue of blood came out and said, I thought she had already died. We hadn't seen her. We thought she just literally bled to death. This is going to be interesting. And so, you know, I'm right there and she's...
What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you.
Yeah. And I said, what about Jairus' daughter?
She's a ruler of the synagogue. You know him. He knows you.
Oh, dear Lord. Come on. Let's get this thing done. Who touched me? And he laid down the laws of faith.
But once again,
right there.
Once again, look at her, the one who touched him.
Yeah.
When she'd heard.
She heard.
Of Jesus, she said, this is her confession, if I can just touch that prayer shawl, that hem of his garment, that which is called with healing in his wings.
Yes.
Those are called the wings in that tallit. She goes, if I can just touch that prayer shawl, that hem of that garment, I'll be made whole. But she had heard. Faith comes how?
By hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. And so now he has to stop what Jairus heard, because the first report Jairus heard was negative. It's too late. It's already died.
Now, Bishop Butler Your words have been stout against me. It is vain and da-da-da-da-da. The book of remembrance. Now, notice how strangely this is worded.
Over Malachi.
Malachi. But unto you that fear my name shall a son, S-U-N, of righteousness arise with healing in his wings.
That's right.
Look it up. Yep. Look it up.
He's fulfilling that prophecy.
Yeah. And it wings. And Bishop said, that's where she heard of Jesus. She heard that preached. She heard that preached. That in his wings, she heard it. Mm-hmm. She heard that preached. There wasn't any New Testament. She heard that preached. And she's saying, if I can just get to him, touch his garment, I'm going to be healed.
She knew what healing, she knew what the wings of the tallit were.
Yeah.
Where the authority was, where those knots are tied. And it's written on there. So she said, if I can touch that, I'll be made whole. So now let me submit something to you there. Paul, when he was Paul, not Saul, but Paul, it says was a tent maker. Well, now where he lived up there, there's not a lot of tents up in the Turkey area. This is more the desert. So what's he talking? Well, that thing is also called your prayer tent.
Your prayer tent.
Paul, being a Pharisee, made the tallits. He made those, and they would cut garments from Paul.
Well, yes.
In Acts, what they're doing is cutting up that tallit, that hem of the wings from Paul, and they would lay it on a sick person. Or anybody with a demon in them, and they'd be delivered. He didn't make housing for desert people up in Turkey. He was making prayer tents.
Wow.
A tallit maker.
Prayer shawls.
And that's your prayer closet. When you enter into your prayer closet, it's entering into his presence. That's exactly what it was.
Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Now, Mark 11. Where else would we go? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Praise God. And let's see now. Let's go to. And so, somebody. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry and saw a fig tree far off, and came happy they might find thereon. Now, the Classic Amplified says, because at the time of the fig leaves, there should be figs on that tree. Anyway. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up by the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away by the root, at the roots. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. The cross reference says, have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say, you see, he just turned around and did it. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. I use it all the time. All the time. Praise God. 30 more seconds. And I'll close it like this. We'll be right back. But that verse of script, those verses of scripture can be used in any situation you're in. And we'll be back in just a moment.
The Bible isn't meant to be complicated. It's meant to be understood. That's why Richard Francis Weymouth, a renowned Christian scholar and linguist, dedicated his life to creating a translation that brings the New Testament to life in clear, modern English. Kenneth Copeland personally believes this is one of the most powerful study resources you can possess, which is why he wants you to have the New Testament in Modern Speech, a Kenneth Copeland Publications exclusive, absolutely free. It's not just another translation. It's your key to deeper revelation, With its accuracy and readability, you'll unlock the meaning behind the original Greek text, making the Word of God plain, practical, and powerful for every part of your life. Add this powerful resource to your study library, the New Testament in Modern Speech. Yours free from Kenneth Copeland Ministries.
The New Testament in Modern Speech Bible, yours free from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395 to request your free copy. Experience the New Testament in a translation by Richard Francis Weymouth to help bring accuracy and clarity to your study of God's Word. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
People will always tell you you can't do it. Do these three things and you'll always be successful. Number one, find out the will of God. Number two, confer no longer with flesh and blood. Number three, get your job done at all costs. Finding out the will of God, that's when you get the vision.
Join us for the Branson Victory Campaign with Kenneth Copeland, Keith Butler, and Reba Rambo, April 3rd through the 5th. Register at kcm.org/Branson today.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here to pray for you. If you need prayer for something in your life, we have trained and licensed prayer ministers who are filled with God's love, standing by to pray with you in faith and according to God's word. Just give us a call at 817-852-6000 and let us help you receive God's promises into your life.
Praise God. I am so glad you could have been with us all last week. Don't forget to kcm.org/notes, because that'll help you and go back and study these things for yourself. And all of this, it's so amazing what the book of Hebrews is. This book is amazing. Thank you, Jesus. And God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Yes, He is.
Hallelujah.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.